Unfolding the Layers of God, Like Peeling Away an Onion, by Mark D. Vogt. People are complex beings, and none of us have enough introspection, because of death working in us, to know about or examine oneself objectively. The easiest person to fool in a group of friends is ourself. We constantly lie internally in order to assuage our guilt, to be convinced that we are more righteous or noble than we really are, to prove that we really are better than the other guy, or to talk ourselves into the idea that we think we deserve more than what we are getting. We fool the person that we are, more than we fool anybody else. The beginning of this problem is that we don't recognize that defect in us. We have no problem in recognizing it in others, but not in ourselves. Even in others, it is difficult to objectively understand them. Human beings are like an onion. An onion can be a metaphor for individuals in that they are complex, and the only way to really know someone is to peel away the layers of that person in order to really get to know them. We hide things from others. It takes time to get to know a person. It is only after trust is built that we begin to reveal our true self. Now that you have thought about that, what is it like to get to know our Heavenly Father, our Dad? The most complex and inscrutable being in the universe is our God. Try to unravel Him on your own. It can't be done. As complex as an individual is, try to imagine how complex and inscrutable God is. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How inscrutable are His judgments and untraceable His ways. For who knew the mind of the Lord? Or who became His advisor? Or who gives to Him first, and it will be repaid Him? Seeing that out of Him and through Him and for Him is all. To Him be the glory for the eons. Amen. Romans 11:33-36. God's ways are so far higher than ours, and His thoughts above our thoughts, that unless God reveals Himself to us, we would know nothing about Him. That is exactly what God did in His Word, the Bible. But He couldn't reveal everything that He chose to reveal to mankind all at one time. If He did that, it would completely overwhelm humanity. Please be aware that God is so complex and so impenetrable that the overwhelming amount of knowledge about God will never be known by people in this life because of our mortality, which veils our ability to understand. God keeps most of Himself hidden from His creatures. This revelation of Himself to humanity is done progressively, not only in terms of how much humanity can take, but by how much an individual can take in and understand God's truth. Can one even fathom an individual being introduced to the God of the ages with no prior knowledge of His Creator, and in a very short time come to understand the purpose of the death of Christ, the secret administration, the role of suffering in the believer's life, or the truth that God introduced sin and evil into the world for His purposes and the glory of His sovereignty? What is a new believer supposed to do with the pervasive doctrine of the Trinity or of hell? How does he or she deal with the truth that none of us have free will? Their entire life was operated under the illusion that he or she was a free moral agent, making what they thought were decisions based on their ability to make choices on their own. These truths are at once overwhelming to humanity, as well as to each individual. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Isaiah 28:10. The truth is that God teaches us by spoon-feeding us, which enables us to absorb what He wants to communicate. I have found this to be so true in my own life. Growing up in a Grace Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania, I thought I had a handle on most of God's truth. I recognized the difference between Peter and Paul and their messages, Yet I thought for sure that I knew that if people didn't accept Christ as their Savior, they were headed for that awful place called hell. Doesn't everybody know that? All I was doing was waiting for that day of the rapture, when I would be caught up with fellow believers to be with the Lord in heaven forever. Although I couldn't figure out how we could be up there with him during the millennial reign of Christ while he reigns on earth. Unlike my brother and a couple of dear friends of mine, I never questioned the orthodox view of God, Christ, hell, and future events. I just went merrily along in my life, believing what I had been taught, never questioning anything, because, well, my teachers were so much smarter in these things than I was, and surely they couldn't be wrong. While in the military during our many travels around the country, when my wife and I had occasion to visit any other local church, we couldn't fathom how wrong they were in their doctrines. Didn't they see the distinction between what Peter said and what Paul said, and that there was a difference? I remember asking an older gentleman years ago what his thoughts were about the Apostle Paul, and his reply was, "Well, he was a pretty good apostle." In my ignorance and arrogance, I pitied him, for I knew the difference. I even pastored a small church and had several Bible study groups back in the day. Surely, I knew what I was talking about. Then something happened to me one time while I was at work. I was reading an article by Clyde Pilkington about the reconciliation of all mankind. As I contemplated his assertion, I was struck by the thought that if this was true, then this was the greatest thing I had ever heard of. And this certainly was worth looking into to see if this was true. Little did I know how Dad was working in my life. Up to that time, I really wasn't aware of his molding me and teaching me, because I surely thought that I had a handle on what God was doing all along. I mean, I came out of a grace church, so that should put me a leg up on others who didn't see those distinctions that we did. Have you ever noticed that when church people get only so far in their understanding of God's word, they stop growing, stop searching? It's as if they think that they have arrived and they have it all, and there is nothing more to learn. So they dig in their heels and refuse to budge from their current understanding. I did not know that God had other plans. When I comprehended the truth of universal reconciliation, I thought that this was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This would begin a journey which would give rise to a fundamental change in my thinking and understanding. Won't the people I tell about this truth be so happy and glad that I told them? As you might have guessed, neither I nor my new knowledge was warmly received. That is an understatement. It only took a short time to realize the reason why this teaching was not well received. This involves a couple of factors. First of all, there is a lack of momentum in searching the scriptures. Believing a certain way carries with it a certain comfort, like an old pair of shoes. Those shoes are comfortable, fit well, and have served well. If one thinks that they have a handle on what God has said, then there is little impetus to get into his word to see if what one assumes is actually correct. This is called inertia, or in this case, a lack of inertia. It takes far less energy, and in this case, no energy at all, not to go further in investigating God's word. Secondly, and far more troublesome, is that there appears to be an attitude among believers that not only did they not want to give up their ideas about hell or other erroneous teachings, but that they actually desired people to go to this imaginary place of horror that religion promotes. Why would that be? Could it be that these good Christians felt that they were somehow more deserving of heaven than others around them? And did they also think that those in the world who have not had the occasion to trust Christ were also deserving of this fate? And more importantly, didn't some of these same people who had heard the gospel, but never took the opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior, deserve eternal conscious torment? These holier-than-thou people would never admit that, but all one has to do is listen to them talk, and in particular how they defend the doctrine of hell. I know people like this. If you uttered one of the four-letter expletives around them, they would be utterly aghast and even offended. Yet the idea of God torturing billions and billions of people in a fiery hell, while their skin sloughs off their bodies being burned beyond comprehension. Apparently, they will be given the ability to regenerate their skin only to have it burn off again, doesn't affect them. It seems to mean nothing to them that for all eternity people will be in unfathomable pain, misery, and loneliness, desperate for water to help quench their thirst. A scenario like this fails to move their compassion meter. But oh, just utter one of those four-letter swear words and see what they do. These are the same people who never talked to their neighbors, co-workers, or even strangers about Christ because it was too much effort, or more importantly, because they didn't care. An atheist I read one time made a statement to the effect that if one believed in God and in hell, then believers should be willing to crawl across a broken glass-strewn parking lot on their hands and knees to reach the other side to tell someone about Jesus Christ and what he accomplished. There is a disconnect between what people claim to believe and what they actually do. This detachment became strikingly clear to me years ago, even before I had this divine shift in my thinking. While at a Bible conference, a group of young people were slated to go downtown in a major American city to do some witnessing and to hand out gospel tracts to strangers. A slow but steady light rain began to fall, and the trip to go downtown was canceled. What was the message being sent to these young teenagers and the rest of the people at the conference? The message that I got was that the lives of those strangers they would have met were worth less than the discomfort the teenagers might experience while standing in the rain handing out tracts and witnessing. Oh, but don't take our belief in hell away from us. This was just one example of the twisted beliefs that religion has pounded down our throats, years on end. If you say something over and over again and say it loud enough, it is perceived as truth, even though there is not 1 ounce of truth in what they are saying according to Scripture. Many more examples could be given. God was gracious with me as he slowly weaned me off of these terrible doctrines of Christianity, hell being only one of them. In order to do that, God slowly and steadily had to show me the truth. How did he do that? It was and is by giving me the faith, in small steps, to believe what he says in his word. I couldn't get it unless he gave me the realization. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God gives faith or realization only through his word. It is all about God. All we do is sit back and enjoy what God has accomplished, is accomplishing, and will accomplish. Just as humanity is, so is the individual. We don't get it all at one time. We see God lovingly peeling back the onion that is himself, one layer at a time. The more layers that he peels off for us, the better is our understanding of him. The better our understanding of him, the more we trust him. The more we trust him, the more we get to know him, and know him more intimately. It is God's unmovable goal that his creatures will get to know him more and more. One day the process will truly be complete, and we will be made in his image.